J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I was born a Cardinal fan. Standing on the corner in a sea of red off Broadway, in the shadow of the statue of the man, hanging round till game time with a ticket in my hand. Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan. Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan. Catch me if you can. Yeah, I was born a Cardinal fan.
A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals. Swinging a long one into left field. Adios, goodbye, and maybe that's a winner. He is going. The pitch and the strike, the throw, he is there. He did it. 105 for Lubra. Swinging a long one into left field. Grand slam.
In 64, the Fab Four All-Star infield of Boyer Grove, Bill White, and Javier. In that 67 route, Roger over and out. Mississippi, sweet home Busch Stadium. From the Redhead to the Roosters, 06 champions. Man, I was born a Cardinal fan. Through the 70s and the silver bat of Simba, the 80s game, a new skipper came to call. To the classic in the fall, they played the wide. Ozzie swung and Jack Buck made the call. Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan. Willie and the Wizard, Big Mac and Stan the Man. Alive and well is baseball in America's heartland. Thank God I was born a Cardinal fan. Lord, I was born.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. 41 days until the giant cluster coming up here, known as the midterms. Oh boy, Laura's doing the weather on the hurricane here. Oh boy,
yep,
what a treat.
Sit selfies near the water. You can see how strong the waves are. Those people are getting drenched trying to take a picture. Kent, it could go up to a Category 5.
Yep.
That's the
Category
latest.
5 starts at 157 mile per hour sustained winds, the highest winds, the maximum sustained winds. It's only too shy of that right now. I hate to be morbid, but it's hard to imagine a storm of this magnitude coming to shore someplace like that without someone dying.
Okay, good morning, St. Louis. All right. I start the podcast with a big celebratory salute to the St. Louis Cardinals, who won the division last night against the Milwaukee Brewers and destroyed their clubhouse. That's always nice when you get to when you mess up somebody else's property, not your own. I'm like, yay, happy baseball. And Channel 4 is like, somebody's going to die. All right, well, I guess we should do the hurricane stuff, get all that out of the way like we've been doing here. They're not fooling around here. We, when I say we, I mean my family, has to some extent dodged a bullet because yesterday afternoon, about, I think it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, is when the National Weather Service and the hurricane people realized that this thing was going to take a little bit more of a turn, a little bit faster. And so it's going to actually hit about 2 hours south of where I am. And it's a big, big problem for the people who are down there near Fort Myers and Naples and Venice. I have a very good friend who lives in Venice. And the problem with that is that he lives in a house, and behind the house is a lake. When I say lake, it's like a lake that's probably 100 yards across, size of a football field. But there's two alligators in there. I mean, they're out sunning themselves all the time during the day on nice days. Now, they're talking about 20, 25 inches of rain where the storm actually comes on land, which is right there. So you tell me, if you're living there and all of a sudden that pond fills up with 20, 25 inches of rain, doesn't that mean that suddenly those gators are no longer in that pond and they're actually in your yard? No, thank you. No, thank you. So they're talking about 155 mile an hour winds. 155! And again, this is all about 2 hours south where I am. We're going to get the rain. They're talking about 7, 8, 9 inches of rain. Not much of a storm surge. It's just going to rain like hell. Things also spawning tornadoes, especially south. The meteorologists have run out of adjectives to use to describe this thing. Monster is the one that I hear the most. This is really basically unprecedented. There is some talk about making a Category 6 hurricane, because right now you got 1 through 5, but there are big boys like this that once you hit 157, you're in a Category 5 situation, and they're thinking that some of the storms that are coming in the upcoming years will be bigger than that because of global warming and because of the changes in the atmosphere and especially the temperatures of the water out there. That's the problem, or one of the problems. Here in my neighborhood, I think there's 22 houses on my street. Most of the people who live here have been living here for quite a while. And as a matter of fact, I was talking about this yesterday, the people next door, it's the fire chief and his wife. And they had a storm a couple of years ago where the wind hit, I think she said 90 to 100, and they were fine. But I should also point out that they have their windows boarded up. So, of course, they're going to be fine. We don't have our windows boarded up. I didn't really know how to do that. But I promise you, I'm going to learn. And I'm going to learn fast. It's an incredible undertaking. You know, you go around your house going, all right, I got to board up all these windows. Yeah, I just was like, I don't know. And now we're sitting here. Like I said, I'm going to learn fast. But it also brings out this macho syndrome. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that there's a lot of people who really do want to help their fellow man. You know, they just want to help their neighbor. It's like you see somebody. So I got a guy who's 89 years old living across the street from me. And luckily, he has family. So his sons are over all the time. They own a plumbing company. And they come over and they, help out, and they boarded up the windows. And I'm walking the dog last night. It was a beautiful evening. You would never know that anything was wrong. You know, it's sort of like, this is why people died like crazy before meteorology really became an advanced science. For all the people out there who like to make fun of the weather, go, oh, they're always wrong, they're always wrong. Well, be thankful that you have weather people, because I think it was 1901, in Galveston, Texas. 20,000 people died. 20,000 because they didn't know a fucking hurricane was coming because there was no weather prognostication. There were no meteorologists back then who knew how to do anything. So people want to make meteorology an exact science, and it's not. It's just never, well, I shouldn't say it's never going to be, but it isn't going to be anytime in the near future. Keep this in mind. We didn't have the first weather satellite launched until 1966. Prior to 1966, the way you forecast weather was from ground reports and weather balloons. That means if you were in St. Louis, you picked up the phone and you called Kansas City and said, is it raining? They're like, yeah, it's been raining since noon. We got like 8 inches of rain. And then you'd say, oh, okay, put up the weather balloons. And you put up the weather balloons and then you get that data. And you're like, that's your weather forecast. Can you imagine trying to do that then? Yesterday afternoon, here in our part of Florida, sun was out. It was beautiful. It was a gorgeous day. You would never know that anything awful was about to happen. And this is the way it was 100 years ago. And sitting there in Galveston, just enjoying the weather, enjoying the beach and the sunshine, and get up the next day and you're dead. So you should probably be thankful for what we do have. And if you want to criticize the weather guys, go ahead. They're an easy target, I guess. But anyhow, back to what I was saying. I think there's generally people who really want to help out. But there's also this messiah syndrome, this hero syndrome. I hate to be this cynical, but I've been watching stuff like this for decades. And you get these guys who have every tool known to man. They hardly ever use them. But in the case of a natural disaster, boom. It's off to the races because they want to be a hero. Giant tree comes down in some guy's yard. Here comes the neighbor with the chainsaw. Now, again, like I said, I think some of these people are very, very honestly interested in helping their fellow man. But I also think a lot of them are the kind of guys who really get some sort of satisfaction out of feeling like they were a hero. I think that's a big part of the gun culture. You know, there's a lot of people who have guns for the right reasons, and there's a lot of people who have guns because it's like they just can't wait for an opportunity to be a hero. You always hear that talk about a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun and everything like that. Life isn't a TV show. It's not an Al Pacino movie. Life is life, and your chances of getting shot while trying to be a hero, or worse than that, getting into a gunfight in the middle of a downtown area or something because some guy stole a purse or tried to carjack somebody. Now you got bullets flying through the air. And I just happened to be walking out of an ice cream shop and all of a sudden there's bullets flying in the air and I'm the one who gets killed because the good guy with gun missed. There were guys in my neighborhood who were, there was no question in my mind at all. They were showing off. Yesterday, they were showing off because they brought everything out into the driveway, you know, and they're cutting up these boards and these 2x4s and these giant pieces of plywood, and the drills are going and the saws are going. To me, honest to God, to me, it actually looked like a competition. Chaos mas macho. So no, my windows are not boarded up, but I didn't feel silly, you know, competing with a neighbor who I barely know for attention, you know. Oh, what chainsaw? Oh, you only got the 1800? I got the 2600. It does much better job. Yeah, I don't want any of that. And then of course Ron DeSantis is like, "Oh, I get to be on TV. I get to be on TV." So he put all the emergency people on standby after first making sure none of them were gay. Good morning, everybody. I don't want to talk about the hurricane anymore. Can I talk about something else? Oh, the Cardinals. Obviously, everybody excited about the Cardinals. We knew this was coming. It's great. It all works out. Boom. Now, everybody can focus on the retirement, alleged retirement. I'm hearing people talk about Wainwright coming back next year. I don't know. We're going to still see here. But anyhow, our three guys will walk off together, only to turn right around and walk back on for the playoffs. So we're never going to really necessarily know what game is the last game for Wainwright, Molina, and we'll say Yachty. Yeah, Molina and Yachty. Wainwright, Yachty, and Albert. But if you were at Busch Stadium for the Cardinal game Sunday, September 18th, and you bought something from the concession stand, there is a chance that you were double charged on your credit or debit card. You may have been charged more than once for your purchase. So I think the Cardinals have set something up to reimburse you if you can. You probably have to prove that you did. Who keeps a receipt from a baseball game a week and a half ago? Who's got the receipt? Well, you're going to have your credit card statement. So if you want to go to the trouble to get back, well, I mean, in some cases, I mean, if you buy a couple of beers and a couple of hot dogs and a bag of chips, and you're out like, what, 30, 40 bucks there. So maybe it is worth pursuing after all. People are laughing at the picture of my barometer. I put this up on Facebook the other day. When I was 10 years old, I was very much into meteorology, as I have been my entire life. And I don't know, it was like Sears or something like that. And you said, 30 bucks. 30, I had to save for that. 30 bucks back in the 1960s? It's like $100 now. And I saved my money, and I got some birthday money and stuff like that. And I scraped up the 30 bucks, and I sent away for a barometer. And I've had it my whole life, and I still have it now, and I took a picture of it the other day, and people started laughing at it because it does look like Benjamin Franklin built this thing. But I was thinking about it. It's probably the physical possession that I have that's the oldest. I mean, think about that. What do you have in your possession? What do you have in your house that you've had since you were a kid? Do you have anything? Because I'll tell you one thing, if I don't count the barometer, I can't really think of the next thing in line in terms of the number of years that I've had it. But the barometer still works, by the way, and it's dropping like crazy as the storm gets closer and closer. But those were the days, man. Those were the days. It wasn't exactly like the Music Man and the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming, but it was very, very cool. There were a couple of episodes of Leave it to Beaver where he's sent away for something, and you wait, and every day you come running home from school. Did it come yet? No. And then one day, you know, there's a knock on the door or something like that, and it is delivered, and you're like nervous anticipation. You're so excited to open up that box. We don't have that anymore because with Amazon, you order it, it's clear the next day. But the amount of dopamine released in a human being's brain when they get a package, knock on the door, I'm sure scientists and medical people can measure that in some way. So the Cardinals clinch and everybody's happy, and it happened right there in Milwaukee. And no love lost between the two franchises. Colton Wong, boy, oh boy, that guy's still a hell of a second baseman, huh? And he's a good guy, too. I talked to him a couple of times when he played for the Cardinals. I hope this cooler weather didn't take you by surprise. It's going to warm up quite a bit next week, but boy, it's in the 40s in most places across the area. There's a couple of places where it's in the upper 30s. No, thank you. First time I ever took the stage in St. Louis to bring a band out on stage was on this date in 1984, night number one of two with Sammy Hagar. And I went out there, and that's when I've told this story before. I was backstage, and Sammy's like, oh, good, you know, you're with Casey, and okay, good, you know, go on out there and really, really get him riled up. I'm like, don't worry. So I go out there. Now, keep in mind, Sammy Hagar is just sort of wandering around backstage, and I go out there, and I get the left side of the old arena competing with the right side of the arena, and they're yelling, I got him yelling, hi, mom, and everything like that, and then finally, it was like the third time, I was like, you know, hi, mom, hi, dad, and then finally, loud as can be, hi, Sammy. And it was just a thunderous response as 20,000 people yelled, hi, Sammy. I give everybody a big wave. I turn around. I head backstage where Sammy Hagar is waiting for me with eyes as big as pie plates. And he just went, what did you do out there? What did you do out there? He almost looked a little scared, a little intimidated, like, hey, wait a minute. We're going to play really well and everything, but Jesus, I don't know if I can live up to that amount of anticipation out there, but it was pretty cool. On this date, 1985, do you remember it? For the rest of your life, it's the waterbed store. Got me that waterbed. Had it for years. Loved it. Something really nice in the wintertime about getting into a bed that's already warm. Oh, man, is that great. And it was exactly 2 years ago today that this fucking moron who took charge of the radio station I worked at for 5 years down in the St. John area decided that after almost 5 years, it would be a good idea to take J.C. Corcoran and put him on the radio and then let him not say or do anything and just play music. Brilliant idea. I departed shortly thereafter. All right. Remember this chick, Rachel Dolezal? You're like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. This was the gal who was pretending to be black. She was an NAACP official who got caught pretending to be black. Well, she's still doing that, except now she's got an account on OnlyFans, and she's still pretending to be black. And also, I should point out, as my father used to say, she's not exactly an oil painting. She's flabby and just weird. So if you want to spend $10 a month to see that chick naked, you go right ahead. But I looked at the pictures this morning because I got a service that provides me with access to stuff like that. And it's just forget it. Just forget it. Speaking of sex, Sigourney Weaver says she shut down a potential sex scene in the movie Alien. She asked the director, would you really get it on while this thing was running around? And I guess he was like, you know what? That's a damn good point. I've known women who won't get it on because the air conditioner isn't working right. Okay. Now throw an alien in there. Thanks to the new Netflix series Dahmer, people are either being reminded of Jeffrey Dahmer or being introduced to him for the very first time. And they now have a problem with the Katy Perry song Dark Horse because it mentions him. Jimmy Buffett had to cancel his remaining tour dates on doctor's orders. He has an undisclosed health issue. He was briefly hospitalized. It sounds like he's going to be okay. There is a series premiere of Hostages. It's called Hostages, 8 o'clock tonight on HBO. It's a four-part documentary series about the 79 Iranian hostage crisis where 60 Americans were held hostage for 444 days after student activists stormed the U.S. embassy. Our buddy Rocky Sickman from St. Louis. We'll see if he pops up anywhere in the show. And also, finally, we get to see this movie, Blonde, on Netflix. This Ana de Armas, who has been on every television show that's in production right now, she stars as Marilyn Monroe, and the movie is getting very, very mixed reviews. I haven't seen it. I'll probably watch it today. But very, very mixed reviews. Some people say that it's a real interesting examination of fame and fortune and the bad stuff that comes along with it. And then some people are like, there's just nudity all over the place. There's shirts off all over the place. I'm like, I'm there. Because this Ana de Armas looks good naked. I will tell you that. So that's on Netflix today. Late night, Miles Teller, who is hosting Saturday Night Live next week, and Idina Menzel, that's Jimmy Fallon, Mila Kunis, is on with Kimmel. Anderson Cooper pops up with Colbert. James Corden has Mayim Bialik. Timothy Oliphant on with Seth Meyers. And Trevor Noah's got Mark Cuban. This is sort of weird. Chris Redd, great comedian from St. Louis who's been on Saturday Night Live for the last couple of years, is now dating Kenan Thompson's ex-wife. Kenan Thompson has been on Saturday Night for almost 20 years. Chris Redd comes along, starts dating Kenan Thompson's ex-wife, and people are wondering if the sort of abrupt exit of Chris Redd from SNL, he's not coming back, had anything to do with all of this. They say no. They say everything's cool. Texts from Anthony Bourdain in an upcoming biography reveal what he was going through in his final days, and apparently it's not pretty. Rob Zombie wasn't allowed to make his Munsters movie black and white like the TV show. He wanted to do that, and the movie studio said, no way, which is very, very interesting because that smacks of the stories that Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker told me with regard to the making of Airplane. The studio watches what are called the dailies. So you shoot all day on Monday. They develop that film, and usually maybe Wednesday or Thursday, studio executives all get into a tiny little screening room, and they just watch the raw footage of what was shot because they want to ride shotgun on the whole thing. And so these guys are making the movie Airplane, and the studio is like, oh, wait a minute. You can't use a prop plane. This is 1980. People don't even know what prop planes were, and it's going to make the movie look like, you know, it's shot in 1940. No, absolutely not. You got to use a jet. So the three guys who directed the movie, Zaz, as they were known, Zucker, Abrams, Zucker, they got the last laugh. Because if you watch Airplane, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a jet, but it's the sound of a prop plane. To me, that's as funny as anything I've ever heard. All right, we got birthdays today. Little Hillary Duff. Little Hillary Duff is up to 35 now. But when she was, I think, 16, she appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. This is one of my all-time favorite clips.
Now, what kind of cars do you like? Do you like it? You seem like the little Honda type.
Basically, anything that has four wheels, yeah. But I'm obsessed with Hummers.
Oh, the big yeah. Humvee?
For sure. Could you imagine me? I'm like 5'1".
I know that makes me a perverted, dirty old man because she was only 16, but she had no idea what she was saying. She had no idea. And of course, the crowd's going crazy. And then she answered, she has no idea what she said. She goes, can you imagine me? I'm like 5'1". I'm like, yes, we can. 35 today. Must have been an interesting conversation when she came off stage and they're like, yeah, Hillary, we got to have a talk here. Naomi Watts, 54, Carrie Otis. Oh, that's from Wild Orchid with Mickey Rourke, 54. She's only 54? Wow. Mira Sorvino, 55. Moon Unit Zappa, the Valley Girl, 55. Janine Garofalo. I will tell you one thing that, you know, so often she looks like she just spent 3 days on a bus because she's sort of like into that stuff. But she did a movie called The Matchmaker about, oh God, this must have been 20 years ago. And she was in full hair and makeup, and she was really, really good in the movie. And the movie was really good. It was about, oh God, how do I explain this? There's a Boston senator who's up for re-election, and the poll numbers are coming back no good. So he's like, here's what he sends his operative, Janine Garofalo, to Ireland and says, just find me some sort of connection to like a Kennedy or something like that. And then we can come back and we can use that in the campaign and everybody will vote for me. So they send her to this little community in Ireland, and she is unaware of the fact that the weekend that she goes in there, they just happen to have something that's been going on for apparently centuries where they have this big matchmaking festival where they try to get men and women together. And the story goes on from there. The movie is wonderful. And she was in full hair and makeup. And she was really pretty. You know, we also had her in the studio back in the 90s. I don't remember. She might have been performing at the Funny Bone or something like that. And she was about what you would expect. She was, you know, a smart ass, and like 8 o'clock in the morning, she probably didn't want to be there, but that's how those things go and just get used to them, you know? Anyhow, she's 58 today. Jeffrey Jones, Dean Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, is 76. He's a registered sex offender now. Bridget Bardot, 88 years old. First World Series, televised in color for the first time, 1955. Yankees and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Hey Jude, Beatles go to number one on this date, 1968. Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life, released on this date in 1976. He was in St. Louis, what, about maybe 6-7 years ago, and performed that entire album. And it was 31 years ago today, 1991, Chris Farley, Chris Rock, and Julia Sweeney became members of the Saturday Night Live cast. And as we told you yesterday, 58-year-old Brad Pitt is reportedly dating 31-year-old Emily Ratajkowski. Leonardo DiCaprio said, oh, a cougar. And with that, J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, September 28th, 2022 is in the can. 41 days remaining until the midterms cluster. Hey, look, I don't know what's going to happen here tomorrow. We have a generator, but it's sort of a small one. And if the power goes out, we got to run the refrigerator and a couple of lights and stuff like that. And so I don't know that I will have enough juice to be able to do the podcast, but if the power doesn't go out or if I can figure out some way to just let everything thaw out, we'll be here. I don't know what the future holds, but we're out of the bullseye, and that's about what we know at this point. So come on back tomorrow. See if I'm here. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.